Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and this is a Sunday roundup. As the nation prepared to mark the centenary of the end of World War I this morning, politicians from both major parties sat down for the Sunday interviews. The Education Secretary Damian Hines joined Andrew Marr, and the discussion turned to Transport Minister Joe Johnson, who resigned on Friday and called for a second referendum on Brexit. Hines issued a word of caution to the government's critics.
We're in the latter stages of this negotiation, about 95% of the way through. The last 5% is always the hardest. The last 15 minutes of the negotiation is always the hardest bit of the negotiation.
So yes, some more resignations to come.
We have to see what comes back, and of course everybody in Parliament will be looking at that very closely, and they need to think about, you know, what's right for the future of our country. They also need to think about what the alternatives are, and actually I'm very confident the deal that comes back will be a good one, and it'll be one that members of Parliament will want to support.
Well, let me put to you directly what Joe Johnson said in his resignation letter. He said, to present the nation with a choice between two deeply unattractive outcomes, vassalage and chaos, is a failure of British statecraft on a scale unseen since the Suez Crisis.
Well, look, you know, Joe puts his points in that particular way. Actually, what I see is something different. We had a referendum, we had a clear result. It was a very participatory campaign, it was a high turnout, a clear question and a clear result. We now have to deliver on that, and we have to come up with the best deal that works for people's jobs, works for people's families. Sure. It's not necessarily going to be something that everybody's going to think is absolutely perfectly what they want. But that's the nature of these things. There are some trade-offs.
The Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry, has sought to downplay comments from her leader, Jeremy Corbyn, on the issue of whether Brexit can be halted. Last week, Corbyn told Germany's Der Spiegel magazine that he could not stop Brexit, which has irritated many Labour MPs and party members determined to reverse the process. Thornberry told Marr that Brexit wasn't a done deal just yet.
We do need to have an injection of democracy in between the result of the referendum and us going any further. And we've always said that. And what we wanted was a meaningful vote. And Theresa May is simply giving us a devil in the deep blue sea. She's saying, you know, you can either fall off a cliff or get on this bridge to nowhere, and you're going to have to vote on that. That's not a meaningful vote. That's not an injection of democracy. So we say, if you're going to give us that, then, you know, we refuse to play that sort of game. And frankly, if you can't come up with a decent suggestion, then we should have a general election. If we don't have a general election, which we think we should have, then yes, of course, all the options remain on the table, and we would, you know, campaign for there to be a people's vote. But, you know, there are several stages before we get there.
Jeremy Corbyn, asked by a German newspaper directly, said, we can't stop it. We can't stop Brexit. And there's a lot of people, including Labour Party members, who are desperate to stop Brexit and hope the Labour Party will help them do that, and are therefore very disappointed by what he said.
Well, you have to look at the context of it. You know, he was being asked by a German newspaper, why don't you just stop it? And he was explaining that, as I've just tried to explain, that we had a referendum, that we are Democrats over and above everything else.
They say, if you could stop Brexit, would you? Jeremy Corbyn, we can't stop it. And the reason I ask that is that a lot of your own supporters think the party leadership is a bit complacent, a bit lazy about this whole business, and has decided that under all circumstances, Brexit is going ahead and you shouldn't.
It's really not fair to say that we're lazy about this. I mean, the fact is we're not in power, and we have been trying to keep this government honest throughout. You know, we talked about the importance of being in a customs union. We have talked about the importance of having an agreement with the European Union, a free trade agreement that is a British-style free trade agreement, which is based on the rules of the single market. We get all of that. That's the sort of things that we have to do. But, you know, there are some deeply anti-democratic forces out there, and we're not going to be part of it. If we've had a referendum and that is the result, then we ought to proceed on the basis of good faith, and we will do our best to try to deliver a Brexit that's good for the country. Now, we're not in power. And the point is this, is that as an opposition, we then say, you cannot go ahead like this. There must be an injection of democracy.
Marr also spoke to Chief of the Defence Staff, General Sir Nick Carter. Marr asked Sir Nick about the military's role in the event of a no-deal Brexit.
Well, what we always do, of course, is to make sensible contingency plans for all sorts of eventualities, whether it's a terrorist attack, or whether it's a tanker driver's dispute, industrial action, or whatever else it might be. And you'd be not surprised to hear that we make all those sorts of plans all the time.
So what have the government asked you to do for a no-deal Brexit?
At this stage, I think people are confident there'll be a deal. If there's not one, then we stand ready to help in any way we can.
But in specific terms, I mean, there's been talk about stockpiling of medicines and so forth and the army stepping in to make sure that they get to the right place. Is that the kind of thing that...
We're not involved in that, no.
So what are you involved in?
We're involved in thinking hard about what it might involve, but we've not been asked specifically to do anything at this particular stage.
Rising star of the Conservative Party, Tom Tugendhat, has conceded that the government is not looking as sprightly as it once used to. He elaborated to Sophie Ridge.
It's interesting to listen to you talking about the future there. And the Conservatives have been in power for 8 years. Do you sometimes worry that the current administration, the current form of the Conservative Party, is a bit tired, a little bit consumed by Brexit?
Well, I think it's the nature of any major struggle that it consumes those who are engaged in it. I mean, we know this, whether you look at a merger or an acquisition or any sort of major operation in the military or whatever it is, you always find that those who have really focused in on it, who've really had to do nothing but that for a long period of time, tend to get a bit worn out, and that's hardly surprising. But it's a credit to those who are engaged in the debate at the moment that they are devoting every inch of energy, every moment of energy, in order to try and bring forward the best outcome for the British people. And I think that's absolutely right. Now, once that is done, will people look for a change? I suspect they will. And I think it's for the Conservative Party to come forward and be that change. And I think we can be. I think we have an amazing opportunity, from the number of people and ideas on our benches, to come forward and make a fantastic change and bring the country forward.
And finally, Labour's Shadow Defence Secretary Nia Griffith has told Ridge of her deep disappointment in President Donald Trump, who is currently in France to mark the sacrifice of the soldiers who died in World War I. However, the President failed to honour one of his expected duties yesterday.
What did you make of Donald Trump's decision to not visit the war cemetery in France yesterday because of the bad weather?
I was absolutely horrified, quite frankly, when you think of the sacrifice that people made. And I think people up and down the country and across Europe, whatever their political views, do think that it's very, very important that we commemorate what happened. And I think people were really taken aback by that. I think he made a serious misjudgment about the mood across Europe.
That's all for this week. I'm Cindy Yu, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. For a limited time only, you can try a month of The Spectator in print and online for free. Just visit spectator.co.uk/trial. And if you enjoy this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening and join us again next week.